The Red Shirt Interviews podcast is a production of the Red Shirt Geeks. Find us at redshirtgeeks.com, where every expendable hero has a home.
Shut up, Wesley.
Red Shirt Geeks.
Hide behind the mound of dead Barnes.
Red Shirt Geeks.
I'm Laz D, the pseudo Kiwi.
And I'm the illustrious Patrick M.
And today we're talking with our special guest, Jim O'Rear.
Here on the Red Shirt Interviews.
Red Shirt Geeks.
Welcome back to a wonderful and another exciting episode of the Red Shirt Interviews. We have with us the wonderful Jim O'Rear. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Jim, you're going to be appearing at Geekonomicon this year in Biloxi, Mississippi. And we understand that you have had quite a storied career. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into the industry?
Oh, gosh. It's kind of weird. I didn't want to work in film. I had no desire to work in film at all. I wanted to be a musician and a magician, and that's what I actually started out as. I toured the country as the youngest professional magician, working with Harry Blackstone Jr. and David Copperfield and Tom Sony, a lot of those guys, and a TV producer saw me at one of those shows and came up afterwards and asked if I wanted to be in a television commercial. And I said, no, that's not what I do. I don't know anything about acting. I just do the magic thing. And, he tried to convince me that what I was doing on stage in the magic show was, was the same thing.
Looks like it would
translate differently on that. So I said no, I don't want to do it. And so after a week or two of him begging my agent and my parents and all that, I said, okay, I'll do the stupid commercial. And so I did this TV commercial, and it was I'll give away my age probably by saying this. It's if you remember the old Woodsy Owl commercials, Give a Hoot, Don't Pollute.
Wow, yeah, that is going back a while.
Yeah, that, it was always Woodsy Owl with this group of kids. Well, I was one of the kids in those commercials. So, that kind of started me from there. I started doing television and film and theater and just kind of built from there. So I sort of accidentally fell into what I'm doing now.
Well, I see that. We've been looking at your filmography and looking at the movies that you've been in, and it's no surprise that you have been in a lot of monster slasher flicks. Is this something that's really just kind of right up your alley? I mean, was it something you were interested in before, or just kind of like, hey, this happened to work and I ran with it?
Yeah, it's another, a lot of stuff in my life just sort of happens. I was never a fan of horror for a long time, and I sort of accidentally fell into that. I did the first horror film I did. I was a zombie in George Romero's Day of the Dead back in 85, something like that.
Yes, 85.
That was the first horror film that I did, and became a cult classic, and so other producers and stuff started going, hey, he was a zombie, let's have him do this horror thing, let's have him do that horror thing, and it just kind of took off from there. And the weird thing is my background really is in musical theater. That's what I spent years and years doing, and I'm used to doing this musical comedy type deal, but most people know me from being monsters or killers or rapists or that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, you're obviously your career has spanned, you know, since you know we see here, you know, at least back into the 80s, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, I guess like you said, you get into a role and people say, well, he was pretty good in that role. Why don't we kind of keep him into that similar thing? But at the same time, I mean, you have been in a lot of movies, so obviously you've been doing a good job at it. And do you find that you really enjoy it now, or are you still looking to possibly go back into doing more of the music or theater? Or I mean, obviously you've done a little bit, not just film acting. You've done writing, you've done stunt work, and that sort of stuff. Is there any particular direction you're looking at going at?
Well, my true love is the theater. I love theater. I would do theater all the time, but film kind of spoils you because, you know, you can get paid on a film, you know, working a week, what it would take you 8 months in the theater to earn.
Yeah.
And, you know, and have a lot more time, you know, for your family and friends and things like that. And so that kind of spoils you, to film. Film is not as gratifying, as the theater and actual, you know, interaction and the changes that happen every night and the different audiences and things like that. But I enjoy both. I do enjoy both. I really love the theater more, but film is, you know, sort of where I ended up and, you know, I'm kind of too old now to make a whole lot of changes. I keep doing what I'm doing.
Well, yep. Yeah, that's absolutely. I mean, you look, we were sort of going through things before we started, and you mentioned you know, there's a few movies recently that you've worked on that you you know, and I saw that you've actually worked on Don't Look in the Basement 2, which is, as I understand it, is a sequel to the 70s cult movie. How did you actually get involved with that? Is that something you wanted to do, or somebody just kind of said, hey, you know, this guy is in this industry, he's there, let's bring him in?
Yeah, it was kind of like that. I was scheduled actually to do a different horror film, and that film fell through by some crooked dealings. There's a lot of crooked dealings in the entertainment industry.
Yes.
That was one of them. And I just made a post on Facebook that I am no longer associated with this movie, just so people would know if my name was still, you know, being right. Beat around with the film, that, you know, officially I'm not involved. Well, I immediately got an email from Anthony Brownrigg, who was the son of the director of the original Don't Look in the Basement. And I knew of Don't Look in the Basement because, I mean, it's a cult classic. It was, I think, the first horror film to ever get an X rating. It was one of the original video nasties that ended up, you know, a lot of bans happening and things like that. So, you know, I was well aware of the original film. And he contacted me and knew my work. And he, you know, we had run into each other a couple of times at various conventions and things like that. But he contacted me and he says, I'm doing, you know, I'm doing a sequel to my dad's movie and I want you in it now that you're free.
Oh, cool.
So
there you go.
So I said, hell yeah. Send me the script. And he did. And it's a fantastic script. And he also hired a friend of mine, Scott Tepperman, that I work with a lot from Ghost Hunters International, and he wanted to pair us up together in this film with these characters that are really kind of against my type. It's not the usual character I'm known for playing in horror mm-hmm. films, which was a challenge and a draw both to the film, but. It's going to be a fantastic film. It's one of the best cast and crews I've ever worked with. Anthony is brilliant, and I'm very excited that next week I actually get to see a screening of it with the cast and crew that they're holding in Texas. So
nice.
It's going to be probably playing some of the festivals and things like that pretty soon. And from what I understand, there's a lot of major interest in it. So I think it's going to do real well for him.
Cool. When, if you can tell us when we might see that, that film come out, actually released to the public.
I'm not really sure, you know, cause I'm not on that end of it. I'm just a hired actor, but,
fair enough.
But, you know, like I said, the cast and crew, the film is done and the cast and crew screening is next week. So, probably early next year, it's going to start playing some premieres and different festivals and screenings and things like that. And then I guess they've just got to finalize the deal on, you know, the distribution of it as to, you know, how they want it to go. I mean, there's talk of it playing, doing a theatrical run and things like that. So I don't know if they're going to go that route or cable or what. But but it should, people should start seeing it pop up here and there probably early next year because it's done and ready to go.
Cool. Well, I mean, you also mentioned a couple of films you did, Camp Massacre and The Hospital. You know, again, I mean, these look. I'm not a huge horror fan, but you know, I'm always kind of, I guess, if you like the twisted sort of story, and these look like they're right up my alley. Can you tell us a little bit? Can you tell us a little bit more about them?
Yeah. Camp Massacre, which I believe they're actually going to screen that one at Geekonomicon. It's they're going to screen the director's cut of it, which is cool. About 35 minutes longer than the version that's coming out worldwide next year. It's actually it's a horror comedy that my friend Daniel Emery Taylor and I produced, and it's kind of like the Biggest Loser meets Friday the 13th.
Okay.
It's, you know, these 10 fat guys go on a reality weight loss competition out in the woods and start getting killed off in humorous ways. And it's got a lot of kind of goofy sort of Scooby-Doo-ish, you know, 80s summer camp type goofiness to it.
Except more blood.
Except more blood, exactly. But it's really silly and fun. It's got a great cast also. Al Snow, the wrestler Al Snow, is in it.
Nice.
Brie Olson.
I'm a native.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm within an hour of Lima, so that's awesome.
But it's got a great cat. Dick Warlock is in it from, you know, who's Michael Myers in Halloween 2 and has worked in everything John Carpenter's done. So it's a very cool cast. And then The Hospital is another one that Daniel Taylor and I produced together. And we're working on the sequel to that now. The Hospital came out. I just found out today that it's still playing on cable. It was released in January. And it's a really sick, twisted film, ultra-violent. It's really, really, really not family-friendly or politically correct at all.
In other words, our preferred film. Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we basically, Daniel and I made this film because we said, we just want to make this and see whose attention we can get. I said, I thought it was going to take us forever to find a distributor, and it would have a very small audience and all that, because it's just not really made for the general public. But little did I know, there are a lot more sickos out there than I thought. And after the second screening of the film, we got a worldwide distribution deal. And
wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's played all over the world. It's you know, it won Scariest Movie in Germany when it was released. it actually got banned in the UK, and it was banned in Bulgaria. It's a rough film, but surprisingly, it's done really well. And I just found out today that it's still playing on cable. It hit cable in January, and it's played continuously on cable since January, which is really outstanding for a little cheap independent film, you know, that's as graphic in nature as this is. So we were actually going to start working on a thriller. And the distributor called us and said, make a sequel to The Hospital now. So we had no plans, no desire to make a sequel to The Hospital. You know, it was really just a one-shot deal in our minds. We just wanted to discuss to people and move on. And okay. So we said, well, you know, we debated it for 2 or 3 weeks, and we're just like, you know what, if we don't do it, it's like leaving money on the table.
Right.
So we scripted a sequel, which is much more outrageous than the original. And if the original didn't offend you, this one will. So we're going to start filming it at the end of January, and it's got a fantastic cast. Betsy Rue from My Bloody Valentine, Halloween 2,
wow.
Sons of Anarchy is in it. She stars in it along with Debbie Rochon and Monique Dupree, who were just voted by Playboy magazine two of the sexiest scream queens in the world. And Daniel Henry Taylor's in it, Scott Tepperman, another fantastic cast. But it is totally, totally outrageous and over the top.
You know, I've got to go find – you know, since you mentioned that they're still playing The Hospital on cable, I got to go find this movie and I got to watch this because, like I said, it just sounds like it's the kind of movie that would pique my interest as far as disturbing movies go. And it's great that you guys made such an impact with it that you were asked to come back and do a sequel. And of course now, you know, you feel like you got a good solid script. You got, sounds like you got a really solid cast and you got an opportunity to carry on with your work, which is, you know, again, a wonderful opportunity, especially when you work in film, you know. And I tell just about every guest that we've had on the show that, you know, I graduated from film school this year. And I always love to talk to people about who are in the industry to see what it's like, you know, to get those experiences. So it sounds like you've had some great opportunities to do this. Not only have you done film work, you've done some stunt work and you've done some writing. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about, you know, the other aspects of your career that have got you to where you are today?
I love stunt work. I'm a little too old to do it now, but I still occasionally do some stuff. It's another thing I sort of fell into. I'd been into martial arts all my life, and I've studied martial arts since I was probably kindergarten, first grade. And I was on a film set one day and they needed another fighter. I don't know if the fighter just didn't show up or if they decided they wanted another guy in the fight or what. And they said, hey, Jim knows how to fight. He can pick up the choreography, see if he wants to do it. And they asked me to do it, and I said, heck yeah, I'll do the fight. And so I started getting hired then to do fight scenes. And then people figured out I could drive because I have race car drivers in my family.
Okay.
And so I started precision driving, getting hired for precision driving. And then, you know, lots of falls and explosions and, you know, things like that. So that was, you know, another thing that I just kind of fell into because of my martial arts background. As far as the writing and screenwriting and stuff like that, another thing I had always done since I was a kid, I used to write comic books and things like that growing up and, you know, always interested in stories and was always a heavy reader. But just didn't have the patience to write a novel. So I found that screenwriting was a whole lot easier because you don't have to write all the details you have to write in a novel. And sure. there was a guy that makes movies based in New Jersey with Wave Productions that, you know, kind of made a lot of sort of a lot of kink films and, you know, niche films and things like that. And he was wanting to get out of that and get into like legitimate horror features. And he knew my writing because at the time I was writing freelance articles for Fangoria magazine and, you know, Haunted Attraction and, you know, different things like that. And he knew my writing from the magazines. And he contacted me. He says, if I send you this script, can you read it and let me know what you think? See if you got any pointers or whatever you would want to change. So I said, yes, send it. And I read it, and I, you know, told him I would structure it differently. I would move, you know, the third scene to the first scene and do this and do that. And, you know, different plot points and things like that that I told him. And he's like, that's great. And he rewrote the whole thing and then gave me a screenwriter credit, even though I really didn't write anything. I just sort of consulted on it. And, you know, they say in Hollywood that you can't sell a screenplay unless you've already sold a screenplay. You know, it's a weird circle. Well, suddenly I had a screenplay credit. So I said, well, can it be this easy? And so I wrote my own script. It's a Civil War vampire script, and sent it out to L.A. And in a week, I had an offer from ABC on it. So again, I just sort of fell into the screenwriting thing, and I continue to do that. I've had a lot of scripts optioned and produced, and you know, of course, I write and co-write the stuff that we're doing now. So it all feeds into the same system, though. You know, the whole filmmaking system. But I don't know what I like, the older I get, the more I like the writing and the film editing process and stuff like that, though. I don't know if it's just I'm getting old and tired, or if I'm getting lazy, or what. But I really do enjoy the screenwriting and the behind the scenes stuff more and more every day.
Know about the old and tired thing? I think we'll just go with that as why you want to go with the writing and the less getting thrown around and exploded.
I don't even want to think about that, you know. I'm just getting into film myself, and I'm 40 years old, so I don't even want to think about old and tired just yet. So,
filmmaking will make you old and tired very quickly.
From my experiences, even just through school, it has been a harrowing. It's given me more grades than anything else. But there are times when it is an enormous amount of work that seems an insurmountable task to complete, and there are other times when it feels like this is the most amazing thing in the world. How did I ever doubt that I ever wanted to get into this?
Yeah, I am. I've found that there's more days, though, that I wake up and I look in the mirror and I go, why am I doing this again?
Well, you know, the good thing is that you are still doing this. It's, you know, it's been really cool that, you know, you've been able to share these experiences with us. You know, we understand that you're going to be at a couple of conventions. You know, obviously, we're talking to you primarily in regards to Geekonomicon, which is going to be December 12th through the 14th. But also this at the airing of this episode, which I believe is going to be on the 5th of December, you're going to be at the Twisted Tales Film Festival.
I will, yes, in Dallas, Texas. I'm actually leading a filmmaker's workshop at the Twisted Tales Film Festival, and I'll be talking about everything from screenwriting to casting to production to distribution, whatever you want to know. I'll be going over it, come ask questions. But it's a cool festival because it's got a lot of cool actors there: Corey Feldman and Andrew Devoff, and Tiffany Shepish, and Scott Tepperman and Robert Lazzardo, a lot of really cool people, as well as they're playing a lot of cool films. It's got the filmmaking workshop, like I said, and but the whole thing raises money to save animals and homeless animals, which I've been a lifelong cause of mine. As you know, I always tell people that I like animals better than I like people.
Yeah, I can be right there with you sometimes.
So it's really cool that, you know, they've set up this festival to benefit the animal shelters and things like that. So, you know, I'm really glad to be working with them this year, and if the filmmaking seminar and workshop goes over well, it's something that they're talking about doing every year from here on out with the festival. So I would love to be tied in with them for as long as they're around. And then, yeah, the following week after that, I go to Geekonomicon in Biloxi, which, again, another cool cast of characters there. You know, Richard Hatch and
We know Richard.
we've talked to him a few times on this show.
Yeah, so you've got, you know, a lot
at
of
length.
A lot of cool people gonna be there. A lot of fun, and like I said, I believe they've decided they're gonna have a screening one night of Camp Massacre, the director's cut of that, and I'm looking forward to that. I think it's gonna be a whole lot of fun, and you know, and that should sort of close out the year for us, really.
I mean, it looks like you've got a lot of great things coming up on your calendar. I mean, I was actually checking out, you know, we were talking before we started the show tonight, that it looks like you've got a fairly well-packed schedule all the way up until November of next year. So it looks like, you know, obviously you're getting around the circuit, and you're going to be getting to meet a lot of fans and also be able to share your experiences with a lot of people. So you know, I'm sure that you're going to be quite a busy person coming the next 12 months, and we hope to see a lot more from you. And I know our listeners who are going to be attending Geekonomicon next week are going to be looking forward to seeing you as well. And you know, Jim, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Now, one thing, you know, we'd like to make sure that all of our listeners do is not only, you know, get to the Twisted Tales Film Festival this weekend if you can, in Dallas. If you can't, try to get there to Geekonomicon in Biloxi next weekend. And as always, make sure you check out Jim's website at jimorear.com, because, look, I've been sitting there for like the last 45 minutes going through the website just checking it out.
There's a lot on there.
So, yeah, certainly a lot of stuff for interest of people who are interested in the works that you've done. So, again, Jim, thank you so much for being on the show. It has been an absolute pleasure, and we hope to get a chance to talk to you again.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
That's all the time we have for this episode. I'm Laz D, the Pseudo-Kiwi.
And I'm the illustrious Patrick M.
Be sure to check us out on our website at redshirtgeeks.com.
Shirt Geeks podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International license. Permissions beyond the scope of this license may be available at redshirtgeeks.com.